Hi, I'm Will Roadhouse, and I'm the CEO of Roadhouse International and Compass Group International, and welcome to another episode of The International Investor. Today's episode, I want to talk about an interesting tweet that I saw on Crypto World 2020, and it was a tweet that was retweeted by The Moon Carl. And as much as I, you know, there are good things and bad things about the crypto community, and one of them, which I just kind of briefly went over in my last episode, which was the crypto brainwashing, which was basically is that most crypto holders will follow everything, every type of news from every outlet, from Twitter to Instagram, Facebook, and so forth. And when you look at the amount of media that's being created, at times I feel like it's crypto brainwashing, where during a down market like right now, as of the last 24 hours, Bitcoin dipped below 30,000, where everyone thought that 30,000 was going to be a threshold, and it broke it. And it broke it again just a few weeks ago. So obviously, there are analysts that are saying still pro-cryptocurrency, pro-Bitcoin, but are kind of holding off, and they feel like, okay, maybe the bottom is going to be closer to maybe 25 or 20,000, which I kind of believe. I also feel that there's more room for more of a bottom, should I say, or for more depreciation in Bitcoin. But this tweet is interesting, and it's something that kind of corresponds with why I'm so pro real estate, of why creating passive income, rental income with another asset class like real estate really goes hand in hand with your crypto portfolio. So The Moon Carl tweets, in the next Bitcoin bear market, which is basically now, make sure to create a passive income so you don't have to sell your coins to live. Cash flow is king and will help you accumulate in the bear market. I agree with the Carl Moon 100%, because, and again, it took this kind of second round to really, over the last 12 months, actually over the last couple of years, to really see that Bitcoin or cryptocurrency isn't going anywhere. And even, you know, another very interesting article that I read about cryptocurrency, of why they're so pro Bitcoin, is if you look at the past, for an example, prior to using traditional tender like the dollar bill or the baht or the euro or even the pound, everyone hundreds of years ago, even thousands of years ago, traded by using precious metals like gold, silver, and copper. And when the fiat currency came, like the US dollar, gold didn't go anywhere. Gold still maintained its value. If anything, it's always increased in value. And it's the same exact correlation that many analysts also look at Bitcoin, and I feel very, very much the same, and I agree with them, is that even if world economies and nations like the United States, UK, wherever, Asia, whatever countries start to create their own cryptocurrency pegged on their own, for an example, like when the United States creates their own digital dollar pegged on the dollar, it's not going to affect Bitcoin. Bitcoin is its own animal. It's going to do what it's going to do. And also, obviously, with the limited amount of Bitcoin in its lifetime, it's crypto gold. So I am still a 100% believer. But I'm also 100% believer in what the Moon Carl has said. And again, in the next Bitcoin bear market, make sure to create a passive income so you don't have to sell your coins to live. Cash flow is king and will help you accumulate in a bear market. You've seen it every second, every 60 seconds, 90 seconds. You see these tweets, you see these posts, buying a dip, buying a dip, buying a dip. How many of you are buying a dip? Are you buying a dip? I'm buying a dip. Who here is going to buy a dip? Raise your hand if you're not buying a dip. It's like, how many times have you seen those tweets and those posts? But the problem is with so many of you, you've pinched pennies and you've sacrificed. You've sacrificed buying real estate, to put that down payment, instead of in real estate, into buying more cryptocurrency. You forego buying the new car. You forego doing repairs on your vehicle, your motorcycle, whatever it may be around the house, to buy more cryptocurrency. But the problem is that you don't have any other cash flow. And especially right now, during the last year and a half during this pandemic, a lot of you have lost your job, or if you're entrepreneurs or business owners, your business are going sideways, you're in a verge of bankruptcy, or you've closed shop, or your revenues have gone down to 50, 75%. I mean, what are the cash flow do you have? The one thing that's interesting about real estate, what a lot of non-real estate believers don't realize, is the world is still getting bigger and bigger in a sense of the population is still growing. Even though some countries are having negative birth rates, where people are realizing, hey, maybe I don't want to have a kid, or want to have a kid later in life, but still, the world is growing. And it's not like we're seeing a total retraction of world population. No, every single year, more and more people are put on this earth. And especially when you're looking at the regions of the world, like I say many times, here in Asia is the wealth of the world. If you look at some of the most recent reports, back about 10 years ago, when you look at trade, the United States had so many trade partners beating out countries like China. Well, fast forward to 2021, China has now beat out the United States in having more trade partners than a big country like the United States. So the wealth here in Asia is accumulating faster than any Western country. That means the citizens are becoming richer. And when citizens are becoming richer in a nation, they don't cram 5 families in a home or 10 people into a home. They have money to buy their own pieces of real estate. That means they're going to buy homes, condos, townhouses. They're going to rent. And that's why cash flow is so important, especially if you're a crypto holder, because you need to balance your portfolio. So what does that mean? If you have bought any type of real estate, whether it's in your backyard where you live or here in Asia, and you paid it free and clear using Ether, using Bitcoin, now you have a passive cash flow. So let me give you a quick example. We have a client, and $1 million here in Thailand can buy you either 10 studios or five really nice one bedrooms or even two bedroom condos. So if you were to make numbers easier and say, I'm going to set aside $1 million, and you're to buy, or we were to find for you, 5 mix of one bedroom condos and two bedroom condos here in Thailand, that portfolio, so each unit, is going to generate roughly net income after you paid everything else. Association dues, like I say, is so minuscule here compared to other countries. Like, for an example, a one bedroom, one bath condo in, let's just say, Las Vegas is going to run you now, I think it is closer to 200,000. So that 200,000 one bedroom, one bath condo, the monthly association dues are going to range anywhere from $150 to about $300 a month. If you're buying something on the strip or off the strip, you're looking closer to $500 to even $700 a month for those association dues. But here in Thailand, that same one bedroom, one bath condo in a fantastic location in a newer building, because condos in the United States, for an example, are so freaking old. I mean, they're 10, 20, 30, 40 year old, 50 year old condo buildings. They're super freaking old. Where here in Thailand, they're extremely new, 10 years or newer. And we like to buy stuff that's within, you know, that's within 5 to maybe 10 years old, but really no more than 10 years old. And that one bedroom, one bath condo, the association dues is going to only cost you roughly about $30 a month. That's it. So basically the cost of 1 month of association due that you're gonna pay in Las Vegas for this condo is the same equivalent of basically one full year of association dues for the same exact condo here in Bangkok, Thailand. Does that make sense? Because when your association dues are high, that's taking money out of your pocket. So for an example, if you can rent that one bedroom, one bath condo in Las Vegas, the average one bedroom condos are now renting for about $1,200. So let's just make it easy. Let's just say it's $200 a month for association dues. So you've $200 is gone. So now you got $1,000 left. That needs to go towards your property taxes. And if you live in an older building, any sort of maintenance you have to do. Well, here in Thailand, that same exact condo, it's $30 a month for the association dues. And you don't pay any property taxes until you sold your property. So you're actually netting more money. So back to $1 million. If you have $1 million, we had 5 to 10 condos for you here in Bangkok or here throughout Thailand. We have renters in there, and you're accumulating a higher revenue per month than having the same exact portfolio in the United States. And you're gonna have more properties here and newer properties. Also, you're in a top emerging market where people or the citizens are getting richer and richer. As opposed to the United States, people are getting poorer and poorer. The most recent article from Financial Reports states that in the United States, there is no city in the United States where working for minimum wage, working full-time minimum wage, can you afford to buy a home? That's just a simple condo too. It's crazy when I read, looking at Las Vegas, that the average condo, which were once about $100,000 to $120,000, maybe 2 or 3 or 4 years ago, are now closer to $200,000. And again, also association dues are just getting more and more expensive. Because remember this, the problem with buying in old buildings that are 20 or 30 or even 40 years old is obviously the horrible, nightmarish problem that recently happened in Surf City, Florida, when that apartment building crashed, killing all those residents, which is extremely unfortunate. But the problem that you have with older buildings is not, that's a worst case scenario. I'm not comparing apples to apples. I'm not saying that every old building is going to do that. But the problem is as buildings get older, they do sink. So you have to put more money into the sink fund. And then also they become harder and more expensive to insure. So the association has to pay more money finding a new insurer. So that means your association dues are going up every single year. Have you ever heard of an apartment complex or even a community in the United States where the association dues are getting cheaper and cheaper every year? No, they get more and more expensive because there's more and more repairs in that building. You gotta repaint the building, change out the gym equipment if they even have a gym. Those old buildings, most of them don't even have a gym. Resurface the pool, change out the pool pumps. There's just so many problems with old buildings. Where, like I said, here in Thailand, a lot of these buildings are new and are so well constructed. You're not gonna have those kind of problems. So please take a look at what's going on right now. So what's going on right now is, as of, 1:35 a.m., Bitcoin has come off its lows. So the low, I think within the last 24 hours, was like 29,400. And now it's closer to that 31,500. So it's come back up. But the thing is that, I'm not saying anyone has made a bad decision, but I need to refer back to some of the things I've been saying over the last few years. If you would have sold off a part of your portfolio during this last high, which was about $65,000 per Bitcoin, and you would have taken my advice and sold off a part of your portfolio and bought some income generating real estate, you would be fine. Because with $1 million portfolio, you'd be generating passive income, and you can use that passive income to buy on the dip, buy in a low. But not just that, is you won't have to, as the Moon Carl said, is you don't have to sell your coins to live. How many of you are selling your coins to live? And that's why I tell a lot of people that really don't have disposable income. Like, there are individuals that do come up to me that I know don't make a lot of money. They're like, hey, Will, what do you think about cryptocurrency? Because I'm thinking about investing in Bitcoin. I said, I think cryptocurrency is great. It's a great way to hedge against equities and hedge against other assets. But the question is that, do you have any other disposable income? Because if you're rich and you have a huge chunk of savings set aside, then yeah, let's go ahead, go buy some cryptocurrency, because you can weather the storm when it goes up and down because it's so volatile. But if you're using all of your savings or whatever, every single money, whatever you're saving from your little paycheck to buy some Bitcoin or Ether, and then something goes sideways, like you need a new transmission, your clutch goes out. Well, no one really has clutches anymore. Well, if you have an older car, but let's just say even a fuel pump, let's say your fuel pump, your car goes out. If you have a BMW, that's gonna cost you over $1,000. So you're like, crap, I don't have any savings. So I gotta sell some of my coin, which right now I'm down. If you would have bought prior in the past, you're down. And then now you have to start selling your coins to live, to pay for expenses. And you don't want to do that. You don't want to do that. You want to create some sort of passive income that's going to generate revenue for you every single month. And that's what investing is, folks. Investing isn't just about trying to get rich within 12 months or 24 months. You know, like I say, it's the crypto brainwashing does such a fantastic job of highlighting like the guy that is the first Dogecoin millionaire. You have so many of those type of, well, actually not so many. You have a handful of those type of people that have done well, whether it's with Shiba coins, Shiba Inu coins, or Doge, or some other shit coins out there that have made over $1 million. And then now their portfolio is down about 50 to 75%. And they're telling you to hold, to buy in a dip. Where if they would have had a balanced portfolio of real estate and equities, they would be fine. You won't have to sell any of your coins to live because you have other passive income. For example, like equities, like stocks, some of them pay dividends. And if you have a $2 to $3 million equity portfolio, that's going to generate some sort of income for you. And then in addition to that is those type of investors also have real estate income. That's commercial real estate like strip malls, multi-units, duplexes, threeplexes, fourplexes, tenplexes, or even a small boutique hotel. It also has residential properties that they're renting out. So that's another form of income. Investing is making sure you're covering all your bases. It's not just putting all your money in one, crossing your finger and hoping for the best and going down with the ship. That's not what investing is, folks. No matter how much you're reading, you need to start spreading your knowledge to different types of investment tools out there, because there are, and different types of investment strategies. So basically the gist of this episode is, listen to the Moon Carl when he says, cash flow is king. And it will help you accumulate in the bear market. I agree with him. Sometimes he does post some pretty crazy stuff, but it's so true. So reanalyze your portfolio. Take a look at that. Even though it is right now, it is down. But some of you have bought Bitcoin maybe 12 months ago when it was only 10,000 or 7,000 or 6,000, you know, a few years ago. So you're still on top. So even right now, if you're still sitting on a couple million dollar portfolio just on a Bitcoin or even Ether, and again, set aside, you don't need to set aside a million, set aside a half a million. If you're not gonna have us do it, have someone else do it for you. Work with a real estate professional. Have them find you some properties. Pay for it in cash. Even if you have to pay state income taxes for selling your coin, it's okay. Because you need to diversify your portfolio. You need to generate some sort of passive monthly income for times like this, because we are in a crypto winter. No matter what people say, we aren't a crypto winner. But for those of you that have a lot of disposable income and make a lot of money, you're loving this because now you can buy in a dip. But for those of you, which are the majority of crypto holders, investors, don't have disposable income. They're scraping anything they can to buy 0.00001 coin. That's not always the smartest thing to do. So if you have any questions, the best thing to do is research. You don't need to send emails to anyone. You need to research and you need to look at your estate. Even if you have nothing in your estate, even if your estate consists of one car, a rented apartment, and whatever stuff you have inside, that's still somewhat of an estate. But you have to look at your estate and look at your estate plan, look at your family, look at what you're planning to do 12 months from now, 24 months from now, 5, 10 years from now. And then start reading different types of books, not just reading about crypto mining and cryptocurrency every single day, and get off of following some of these people all the time and start reading stuff like The Millionaire Next Door. That's a fantastic book. And those strategies still work today, even though that book is over a decade old, but it's still relevant today. Or The Automatic Millionaire, or like another book I recommend in my last podcast, The Intelligent Investor. And then in addition to that is reading books like by Gary Keller, The Millionaire Real Estate Investor, even some stuff by Robert Kiyosaki. The more knowledge you have about the different types of investment assets out there, the more powerful your portfolio is going to be, the more ironclad your portfolio is going to be. By putting everything in one asset, you're just asking yourself for trouble. The problem with the crypto world and the crypto community is that what you don't hear over the last 10 years is the amount of people that have dumped everything into, let's say, Bitcoin, have done well, but they never sold. And then they were once millionaires, and all of a sudden they're not millionaires. And then something life unexpected happens. They lose their business. They have no more income. They got in a car accident. They go through a nasty divorce. Something happens where financially it's going to cost them a lot of money. And then now they have to sell their portfolio when it's 75, 80, 90% down. You don't want to be in that position. That's why you want to diversify your assets in different asset classes. And one thing I love about real estate, it's tangible. You can touch it. You can feel it. And if worse comes to worse, you can live in it. You can't live in a Bitcoin. You can't live in Ether, in Ethereum. You can't live in Polygon. You can't live in Google or Apple. They'll kick you out, even though you tell them you're a shareholder. But if you have real estate assets, worst comes to worst, you can always move in. That's just another safety blanket. Investments or investing, and it's something so simple that even the savvy investor forgets because they're so caught up in it. Especially the gamblers, the day traders, they're so caught up in it, but they forget a lot of things. They forget, yeah, the money comes fast, but also the money goes out even faster. And you don't hear about those losers. You always hear about the winners. Investing 101 is creating a portfolio of different assets that is going to help you have a better future. That 5 years, 15 years, 20 years from now, what you invested today is going to multiply by 5, 10, 20, even 100 times. And you can predict that. And you can retire comfortably. The last thing you want to do is be those individuals. Like, some of you may not remember this, especially the millennials, the younger millennials. There are people that have put everything with Bernie Madoff, which was a giant Ponzi scheme, and lost everything. These were multi-millionaires and came from old money. They lost everything, became homeless, had to downsize from their big, giant Manhattan apartments that they owned. And even before that, there was Enron, a company that was too big to fail. Nobody ever thought Enron, WorldCom would ever fail. People put in all their money into that, lost everything. The employees that worked at Enron put in everything in there, lost everything. That's why diversification is so important, because you don't have a crystal ball and you don't know what's going to happen. Even Bitcoin, we still don't know what's going to happen. We don't know. Next week, someone can create some sort of code that can make Bitcoin, I don't know, can hack Bitcoin. I mean, obviously, one of the great things about Bitcoin is that it's transparent, but you can't scam Bitcoin. You can't hack into it. But who's to say someone does it, some genius does it? Or who's to also say is, look at how many crypto exchanges over the last, even just over the last 5 years, where the owners of these crypto exchanges created a back end and basically stole hundreds of millions of dollars, never to be seen again. It can happen. It can happen to one of these big giant exchanges, like the top five exchanges. It can happen. It can get hacked into. So that's why it's so important to diversify your assets. Because if one asset class goes bye-bye, you have these two other ones. Even if you don't have equities and real estate and cryptocurrency, but if anything, if you're only going to have cryptocurrency, at least have real estate to balance that. So please, heed my warning. Educate. Financial intelligence is very, very important. Financial knowledge is very important because you've worked hard for your money. Please don't rely on a third party to give you suggestions which you don't understand. You need to learn about the business. You need to know what they're doing. So if you have a bad manager, you can fire them and go to a different house. So I hope this makes sense, and I hope you find this helpful, because we don't know what the world's going to come. You know, I was just talking to a very good friend about this coronavirus, and here we are. I mean, Thailand is back in another lockdown. The Thai government doesn't want to call it a lockdown because it's bad for media, but actually we've been in lockdown for the last over, actually a week before this official lockdown came into place. But what's interesting is I read an article. A few scientists are saying coronavirus is going to be like the flu. It's going to be with us forever. Because look at the flu. The flu's been around for hundreds of years, and there's all sorts of different strains every single year, and it mutates and so forth. The coronavirus is going to be something like that, and I believe that too. And I believe that so much is that now we're seeing, obviously, this Delta variant that came out of India, highly infectious, and it's surging all over the place, even in the United States, obviously here in Asia. But so now we're in this fourth surge. But what I believe, and then now we have Lambda. So Lambda is another variant that's coming out. So what I believe is going to happen is that this coronavirus is just going to be part of our day-to-day life. What that means is that there is going to be a time in the future, even though it's never going to be eradicated. What I believe is that there's just going to be a new booster shot. Just like you get a flu shot every single year, you're going to get a new booster shot depending on the most dangerous variant for that year that they're predicting, just like the flu shot. And then there's going to be times when there's a new variant that comes out or a new strain that comes out, and economies and nations will have to shut down again. So what I'm also advising my clients is making sure, so over the last year, we've made changes to our business here at Compass, and I'm advising you yourself to make sure that your business, your changing should in the future. Your country, your city, your state needs to shut down for 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 1 month, 2 months, 6 months, that you've changed your strategies so you can still make an income, that your business isn't going to go sideways. Obviously, the worst business to have is the restaurant business, because when it shuts down, deliveries isn't going to survive. And it's a hard business to get into. I'm not in the restaurant business for many, many reasons, because it's just too hard. That business is difficult. But all I'm saying is take a step back during this downtime again, during this next surge, is making slight changes to your business model as it evolves to ensure yourself in the future, should there be another lockdown, your business can survive. How we've made our changes here in Compass is we've trimmed down on staff. We work with more contractors. The reason why we work with contractors is that because they're bad, we can just fire them and go find another contractor. And then in addition to that is we spread ourselves to more regions. So we started Compass in Latin America, in a country of Costa Rica, and then we spread it out to here to Asia, because this is where the new world's wealth is. And then in addition to that is we've also spread out more to commercial real estate, not just residential real estate. So we have our hands in everything. We still do one thing and we do it great, which is real estate. But now it's residential real estate, luxury residential real estate, boutique hotels, high-end hotels, consulting for developers on new developments. So there's a number of different things we do, and we can do it all online. The great thing, it's not a great thing, but this pandemic has given us so many new tools. And also, it's a new norm. You don't have to meet anyone in person anymore. In the past, many, many years ago, when we would, for example, we're one of the biggest announcements that we made, one of the biggest projects we're working on right now is putting the team together to build the new international airport for the Maldives and also an attached hotel to that. So that is partners and organizations from Singapore, from the Middle East, from Asia, from here in Asia, I mean Sri Lanka and the United States. In the past, we would have to go and fly to meet everybody. But now we don't. We just get on a freaking call and hammer it out. That face-to-face meeting is not necessary anymore, which I'm very, very happy about, especially for my business, that I don't have to continue to spend, traveling to these different countries and meeting people. And it's a costly expense. So we've made some changes and we're going to continue to make more changes. And I hope you're doing the same. So I wish you all the best of luck. And please balance your portfolio. Cash flow is king. I'll talk to you soon.